Thank you. I fell to sleep. Not on the hay. I just fell to sleep. No. Thank you, musicians. Maybe later on I will need you again. My mother told me, abuse your friends wisely. I'm sorry, use your friends wisely. So I might have to use you, you know, again. Yeah, when you are not serving the Lord, that's what we do. We abuse people, you know, verbally, you know. But that's not what we are called to. We are called to use each other, to serve each other, and use each other, right? Sit down. Just sit down for a minute. So I was just listening at the youth singing and the specials. And, you know, this is not my world. Well, we have another world. But this is not my world. Now I know that, you know. So everything has a representation, what we're talking this morning. But before I get to that, let me tell you that what makes me happier than anything is when I see my grandchildren running to me. And they grab me by my legs, some are this small. And then they say, hey, Papa, we love you. You don't know what happiness. If you don't have grandchildren, you will not know what I'm talking about. Because you have to have grandchildren in order to know what I'm talking about. I had a friend that, you know, in the other tabernacle, that he had grandchildren. In fact, it was your father, Elizabeth. Because when he started having, you know, grandchildren, I used to call him grandpa. You know, here comes the grandfather. And he says, you don't know what that is. And now I know that I didn't know. I didn't have mine yet. But now I know what it is. So, but it's a joy because, you know, I mean, can you imagine, you know, God, your father, and when he saved you, just that son that went away, you know, and he came running to the house, and what did the father do? He ran to him and they embraced each other. I mean, what a happiness can create, you know, God, you can create in God just by saying, I love you, I need you, I miss you, and you embrace him and you, you know, have a good time with him. He loves you that much. I don't know why people are waiting to come to him, because he's waiting even more. He has a more desire for you to come than you have to come. But when you come and you embrace him, it's joy unspeakable. You will never experience that unless you know what I'm talking about. But even with your children, when they were small, right? What else will bring you more joy than see a child running to you? So can you imagine God? About 100 times more than that. So every day you can run to Papa. And you know that he's happy. He wants you to do that. He wants you to run to him. He wants you to tell him your problem. He wants you to tell him whatever is in your heart, even though he knows everything. But that's what he wants. And that makes him happy. Don't you want God to be happy? And please, then talk to him. Go to him. Because he's waiting for you every day. Amen. Just like I enjoy every time I visit my family. I enjoy the children. Just that moment. Just is good enough for me. That's what I go. Just for that moment. I tell my daughters, I didn't come here for you anyway. So I just came for that moment. I want to experience that moment. Can you imagine one of these days we're going to experience that forever and ever and ever? It's kind of hot over here today, or it's me? Maybe my thermostat is stuck or something. Well, if you're a mechanic, you know what I'm talking about. Or you're not, you're not. I call it a power surge. I'm having a power surge too. I always said my wife never had hot flashes. I got them. She don't. I got them. I got all, I guess. You can stand. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight. We appreciate everything that you have done for us so far. But Lord, we want more of you tonight. Father, that's why we came. Because we need you today more than we needed you yesterday. And tomorrow we probably need you even more. Father, and we want to be like your children. So we want to run to you. And Father, we know that you are the one that's satisfied all our longings. So So tonight, Father, I know you're not going to disappoint us. You're going to come and do as you all purpose to do today, tonight in this service. Come, Lord Jesus, just come and walk among and touch every heart, Father. And those are, for whatever reason, they stay home or they're sick or away, be with them, Lord. Protect them and keep them, Lord, and bring them back home sound and safe, Father. Be with our brother. Be with those that are traveling and those that are going to travel. Father, be with them and keep them, lead them, and remove any obstacle that sometimes that devil wants to put in the way. Father, because those angels are watching over us, Father. We thank you, appreciate everything. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated. So, anyway, I had fun this morning, but we can have some more tonight. But that's up to you. You're going to have to pull. You know, I cannot jump. You have to pull. And if you pull hard enough, I might do like Brother Brandon, sit on the pulpit and dangle my legs. That's how hard they were pulling. Can you imagine that? I wasn't there. I would have liked to be there. Wow. That probably was an amazing service. Can you imagine? But listen, that God is still here tonight. Don't tell me that we can have that and more tonight. It's up to you. It's up to you. We were talking about predestination this morning. One thing that I need to do, because a wise pastor told me, you can preach all you want to and hit all the highlights, but if you don't ground those thoughts into the word, people will just go anywhere, because you have to ground all this into the Bible. Because that's what we do sometimes as people like evangelists. They preach a storm and they don't even open the Bible. They just go and go and go. But if you don't tie that to the Bible, it was a good time. You need to be grounded so you will remember, and nobody can take you away from that. But I'm not going to do that with everything I spoke this morning. But let me just quickly revisit that. Let me tie a couple of those things. So sometimes when we are preaching, just go. But I forget to quote everything and show you everything. But you need to know where all that came from. So you don't know we're talking, just talking. Now you pray for me. Sometimes I had to slow down because my breathing is not that it's bad. Sometimes I forget to breathe, that's all. I keep talking. Okay. Representation. Now there's always, everything that is in this earth, everything that God created, it has a representation. Not only you, not only the angels, but everything that he created has a representation. This earth has a representation. When he got done with it, he took a picture. He has a representation. In fact, the New Jerusalem, John said it came down from heaven. You know, where do you think it was going to rest? That was a representation of the natural Jerusalem. And one of these days, that world that we cannot see, that is more real than this world, that is the representation of what this corrupted world is. But one of these days, that world comes down and take over that, just like that theophany is going to come down and take over what? Your body. And the mortal will be immortal. You know, at the time of Moses, God showed Moses the tabernacle in heaven. No, Moses was an architect, an engineer. You know, those big things that they constructed, you know, pyramids and everything else. So he did the best he could with the materials that you find in earth. But that was a model of what he saw. God said, this is what you need. That is the New Jerusalem that later on, it might don't look like that tabernacle, but it was a representation. It will come down. That's what Moses saw. And it will rest in that old New Jerusalem that the Jews love so much. And then it becomes one, just like your theophany is going to come down and become one with you. Everything has a representation. So when we go to Genesis 1:3, please, I didn't give you this in the note, just probably I don't even get to my notes. Genesis 1:3, verse 3. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick. Okay, and God said, he gave my brother time to get it too. And God said, let there be light. And it was, and there was light. Now this is not the sun, because the sun was created in day four. And the moon was created in day four. So what is this light? Now, I want you to go to verse 1. Verse 1 says, in the beginning God created heavens and earth. And verse 2, and there was without form, void, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, the Bible says that God is light, and in him there's no darkness. So if God was doing something in Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, where was the light? Why the world was in darkness? The universe was in darkness. Why? Don't you think that the presence of God will brighten up the day? Will brighten just about everything? Because God is light. So this is what I'm thinking. Anyway, let's go to First Kings 8:12. And this is Solomon talking. See, I went the way that I wasn't going to go, but that's all right. Then spoke Solomon. The Lord says that he would dwell in the thick darkness. God is not darkness. There's no darkness, but this is what the Bible says. That he dwell in darkness. In the beginning, he dwell in darkness. Everything was dark. Why? Well, you don't know the answer. We got to find the answer, right? Let's go to, 2 Chronicles 6:1. Because I want to chase this down. Why did Solomon say that he dwelt in darkness when God is light? Then says Solomon, the Lord has said that he will dwell not only in darkness, but in thick darkness. Why? Psalm 143:3. This had nothing to do with representation. I just went this way. For the enemy had persecuted me, my soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground. He had made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. One more. Isaiah 9:2. I think it is. I read this and I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. The people that walk in darkness, you see, have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of the death, upon them had the light shine. But before that, it was darkness. I got one more. Let's see. Matthew 6:23. Okay, but if thy eye be evil, it is evil good, thy whole body shall be full of what? Of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee, you know, people said, I believe in God. The Pharisees, they said, you know, we got Moses, we got this, and Jesus said, if you don't believe that I am, you will die in your sins. You know, sin is darkness anyway. So they didn't want to believe him. He said that the life, the you know, the great Spirit of God in flesh. And he said, if you think you know what you believe in and you think that's light, he says, that's for more darkness. That's a great darkness. Because the only light is him. And if we reject him, what is left? Darkness. So, in the beginning, let's get back to it. In the beginning, God created the light. Who was the light? The Logo. That was Jesus Christ. Because, more later on, he became that. That Logo, that theophany, that word body was Jesus, theophany body. And then we see that when then he creates him, something happens. Light sprung out. Now, there's a concept here. concept here. I forgot my belt. No, I didn't want to put it on, so don't forget about my belt, okay? So we can get that out of the way. I got sick on top of my belt anyway. So, why when he creates the logo, suddenly the light comes out? Why the light was not before? Well, you know, I told you that we are the negative. You know, we are the shadow. And he is a positive. You know that it takes a positive and a negative to have light? Your battery in your car, if you take the negative pole, you ain't going nowhere. And all of you leave the positive or the negative and take the positive, it ain't going nowhere. You need to have a full connection. God needs a full connection. Because if you don't have a full connection, light cannot come forward. You know that you are the light of the world? You know why? Because you have a connection with the positive. Remember, you're the negative, and you have a positive. And when that positive and that negative comes together, they connect, what happened? You got light. But if God is not connected to anything, it's just all darkness. And he will stay in that darkness until. See? And in the beginning, here we go. He creates the logos, and suddenly light came forward. So the Bible said that that light was the light of what? Of the world. But it wasn't before the creation. Well, it was darkness. Also, it's just like that. They are dark until he comes in. The light cannot be produced until it's connected. Brother Branham preached, you have to connect those wires. See? And he's the positive and you are the negative. And when you let him have preeminence, when you accept him, then your life will light up, will change completely. The darkness will go away from your souls that is in darkness. But there had to be a connection. And as long as that connection is not there, it will be darkness. Now, God dwells in darkness. God don't, you know, he made everything. No? And God do whatever he wants to. But God wants to dwell with his people. Why? In that day, the Bible said, when that city comes down, then we have no need for the natural light. Why? Because she will be the light. God and her, that's the light we have. I mean, it's so bright that you will not need the sun, you will not need the moon, because the connection has been made already. See? And every time God connects with a human being, it reflects the light. See, remember what Brother Brown said, God is not completed without who? Without you. You. Because it takes him and you to reflect the light. It took him and Jesus, the Logos, for that light to come forward. That was the first time it happens. And still, Jesus says, I am the light. And you are the light. Why? Because it's a connection. I'm connected to the positive end. He is my source. Without that source, it won't be no light. So once we connect, the wires is hooked up and the electricity comes down, you get energized. And the darkness one, flee away. God is not afraid of the darkness. That's why he can dwell in darkness. Hey, what darkness is going to do to him? For you and I, it's a different story. We need him if we don't want to walk in darkness. That is why we have to walk in the spirit. See? And not in the flesh, because the flesh is darkness. You cannot make a right decision. You don't know which way you're going. It's dark. In fact, if you try to lean on your own understanding, how dark is your darkness? But once we get hooked with him, our life will light up. Our eyes, they're not evil. I told you that you don't see with your eyes. Actually, your eyes is part of your brain. Actually, if your eye perceives something, it looks at things, the brain trying to make sense of what is we're looking at. It's not the eye. The eye is just one object, but the brain is processing what I'm looking. And whatever understanding I have, whatever experience I have, whatever I know, I read, I was told, whatever ideas, I start making sense of what I'm looking at, and what I see depends on what I have experienced in my life. Okay? You don't see with your eyes. You see with your brains. Your eyes is the windows that open access to your brain. See? So, you perceive things the way you perceive things, and that's your reality, and that's my reality. Because whatever I look at something, I perceive it with my brains. Whatever way I wrap myself around that thing, I will wrap my brains and I'm trying to figure out what it is. I might be wrong, but that's fine. It's not the first time. Sometimes what we see is not what we really, really, really see perceiving, even though we think we are perceiving something. But that is the world that we are living on. It's not real. The only real world is this world. See, and I don't have to perceive that one with this, because I have another eye that will perceive that word through the word of God. See, but if we don't have that eye, that Holy Spirit, that little man in the tower, you will try to figure things out with these brains. And this life, you don't figure it out with your intellect, you figure it out with your soul. Because that is the reality. See, God knows everything, and he can guide us and lead us to all good things. How are you going to do that with such a limited, you know, brain power? Anyway, so perceiving, see, the eye, you know, is evil if you try to perceive things in the way of education, intellectualism, you know, smartness, because you're still looking at darkness. We cannot produce light aside of ourselves. We need him in order to clear the darkness in our life. How are we going to help somebody when we're still in darkness? We need his light so he can shine in my heart so I can shine in somebody else. So that's the connection. I'll give you one more. Psalm 23. I like that psalm. Just to prove to you that we live in darkness and God is hiding in darkness. Because he's there, but you are the light. You will project. You will reflect his light. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the second, he make me lay down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Go to the next one, see if I don't have to read it all. So I walk through the valley of shadow, not the valley of that is dark. Of shadow, of, it's just like a comparison here, of shadow and dead. Now, where is the shadow and where is the dead? You tell me, well, the world is dark. Well, yeah, symbolically, spiritually, it's dark. It's not dark right now. So the valley of shadow and dead, I will fear no evil. What is David? David, a prophet. What is he talking about? He's prophesying that this body is a shadow of death. And we are walking in a valley. And we are dead and we are the shadow. I told you the positive is here. You are only a representation, a shadow. So we are walking in this world in darkness, in the sense that we are darkness. We are negative to begin with. We were born that way. Let me finish Greg or for thou art with me, the rod and the staff, they come for me. That's it. Thank you. Shadow. This world is a world that if we don't have Christ, we are walking in shadows, in darkness. This flesh inside, if this God is not there, all it is darkness. And even when he gets in here, it's still, this body is death. And that's why my real me is housed in a pest house that is dark, you know. He tries to ruin me all the time. Before I came to the Lord, you know, I couldn't help to do what I did because I was walking in darkness. When the Lord comes, we still got to drag this guy around. See? This is a dead body. And it's darkness, corrupted. But who is dwelling in that darkness? God dwells in darkness. You know why? Because Satan cannot see. Because it's so dark that he can't even see that God is in there. See, because God is dwelling, he's hiding in the thick darkness. Now, it's not darkness to me because I got a light to find my way in the dark. But he cannot see that because God is there hiding in these bodies. So he cannot find it because it's so dark. Not to me no more, see? Because the light has come to light up the darkness that was in me. See? But the darkness also symbolic outside is pressing, you know? But I not only have problem with the world, but I got this guy is my problem. This is darkness. This is dead. Dark in the valley of shadow and death. And it's pressing. Press every day on me. It presses until it wants to choke me. But the darkness could never overcome the light. So take hope on that because the darkness will never, Satan will never, there's nothing can overcome the light. Strike a match in the darkness to see who is going to go. He's going to go. So always entertain the light. The light is the word. The more light you get, the better you will be. Because the more light, the more darkness you can chase. So when they get to the point that you get so close to him, like Enoch, Enoch has so much light that he burst out of that body. Because once you have so much light that there's no more darkness in you, what's going to happen? The darkness has to flee and you have to come out. It's time to go home. Because the real me, just like in the beginning, the Logos, was the light. When God took himself and emptied himself in the Logos, the light appeared. When Jesus came to your life and emptied himself, that was empty, what was empty in him was empty in you, you saw the light. Before that, you couldn't even see beyond your nose. Ain't you happy tonight that this one here that can turn the light? So, anyway, that's my side story. The light. Now, let's go back to the representation. Just take that and just mull on it and, you know, how would the cows do? Bring it back up. I need it again. Nasty. You know, I don't know if I told you guys that before. That is the nastiest thing. But that's what the denominations do. They eat this dead word. Because Brother Barnes said they eat that, you know, the roadkill. Because they don't have fresh food. So after the preacher preached all this dead thing, then the people go out, they get sick, and they bring it back. And there's vomit. Why? Lukewarm. Because all that stuff is really kind of system. Brother Brown says a dog cannot even eat that stuff. But they eat it and they bring it back and it's nasty. The second stage is worse than the first one, you know. Can you imagine? They go on thinking about what he was preached. It cannot produce life. It's dead. It's está podrido. What is podrido in Spanish, in English? Rotten. Can you imagine eating the dogs eat rotten stuff? They can handle it. Your system can't. And when they give you this word that is a rotten word, you bring it back and this word the second time when it comes out. Why? It can do anything. Nothing cannot produce. It cannot change. It cannot do anything. See? That's what happened. You got to throw it out of your system. What are you going to do? Well, let me find another place that can serve a little better food than. You know, they can search all they want to. The only thing they need is to find Jesus. That will take care of that problem. Amen. But talking about representation. Now, can you put for me Genesis 1:27 so I can ground you real quick? So now I'm going to ground you after that. De-ground you first with what I said. That's a word, de-ground. De-ground. So God created man in his own image. God has no image. But in the image of God created him, male and female created them. And what's the next one? And God, before that one, go to 26. And God said, let us make man. You guys might think that I'm not a preacher, that I'm ready for nothing. I'm ready. You just don't know it. I am ready. God says, let us make man in our own image. Who is talking to? An image. You know, he has predestined us so we can conform to that image. What image is that? That image. Who is that image? And after a what? A likeness. And let them have dominion over the sea, over the falls, over the air, over the cattle, over everything, over the creeping things that creep upon the earth. What image are we talking about? God himself already created himself into creation, the logo, that image. What did that image look like? Well, the next verse, God created a what? A man. So he created a man, you know, and he used what image? The logo. So he must be a man too, with two legs and everything. Or either I'm not know how to read English. You help me with the English. I'm real bad in the English. But God created man to his own image. So Jesus is a man with two legs, with two arms. See? Because that's what I am. I am the image of what he was talking about. The image he created him, male and female. And I told you this morning, he created the theophany body. This is a celestial body. This is a word body. Okay? A man. See? And he has a representation like this in his mind for you, 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 you. But this is the first one that later on becomes Adam. But he is just a man. God is a man. But sister, remember I told you this morning that second place is good, just as good as the first one? When God created him, this man, you were there. And there wasn't no first, and there wasn't no second. You guys were one unit. What happened with the fall, that's what we had. God just went to a different, you know. But when we get back, don't worry about it. Everything will work out fine. You will be one. There's no big I or little I. You guys be one. So we look into that. And the image of the great, then we go to the next one, that not only he created Adam, but I told you, he created you, an attribute of God that he had in his mind, a thought. And he created you in the beginning, before the foundation, just like that. You know? So that's why you have a representation we were talking about. Now let's get to Genesis 2:7. See if I remember right all this. I've been studying for weeks, and so I remember most of this stuff. It's not that I'm smart. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Now what do? We have a man that is a celestial body. Now we have a man that is what? Made out of what? Earth. And I told you this morning, now he takes the spirit, the breath into his nostrils. See, he takes the spirit, the male spirit, and put it in there. And then he became a living soul. Body, soul, and spirit. That's how God could do everything. So, that man needed to have the spirit of the living God. You know, he's the only one that can bring life. It's God. And that's it. And God already created that spirit of life. You think he's going to create another one? No. Put it there. So, he said this morning that he became a living soul. But, he had just the male spirit. And the female spirit. Women, you like this because at one time you didn't have to worry about your husband. That's the only time you didn't have to worry about him, because you was by yourself in the theophany having a good time and your husband was working. You know, the theophany, when it was created, God said, go ahead and multiply, have dominion over there, do everything. Remember we just read it? The theophany was doing that in celestial places. It was taking dominion. But he could not come down and what? And connect with creation. He couldn't talk. He could not eat. I mean, this is a spirit body. He can do but so much, right? So God had to do something, because the grass is growing and the trees are getting bad and we have to be trimmed and all this stuff. So God had to send now something that can handle, can talk, can eat, and even can talk to the animals and connect with what? Communicate with creation. So that's why the theophany didn't come down to take care of those things. He couldn't. He did as much as he could. But then when that happens, he says, well, we need somebody to attend that garden. Man, it's getting lost. You know, so he takes the man and says, okay, I'm going to send the man down. Women, you stay up there. You were saved then. So he comes. And he started doing his work. See, that's what I said. He was first. Not up there. Down here. He was first. And he started doing his work. You know? Then I told you that after a while, he got lonely because he knew. Listen, my friend, how, if he was, if those two spirits was in him at that time, he would not crave for anything. He would not need to be craving. The crave comes because you need something that you don't know what it is, and it's not there, and you want to know what it is, and you don't know. But you know you're craving. Something is missing. What is it? I don't know. Well, something was missing, and that creates a craving. You know, and that's what happened. After a while, you know, God takes and opens the sight. God will not create again. He finished the creation, cannot create. So he takes the sight already created, brings the spirit, bring it down, and says, here you have. It's your woman. So then, we know what happened. Satan came, laid it on, and beguiled her. And then he falls from his first state of being in control of everything to another stage. The first stage where Christ was created, the magnificent state, that was the glorified state, just like you and me, a glorified state, now becomes a fallen state. Satan, if he wouldn't done what he done, everything would have been fine. But he decided, you know, hey, I need another position. Adam did that with a reason, and he fell from his position, not too far. He was the God of this earth, and he fell off from this position to another state, and now we have to die. By representation, we got to die, because we are a representation of Adam. Let's see if we can find that. Genesis 5:3, I don't think it is, 5:2, 5:3, 5:6, well, we find it. Oh, that's pretty good. And Adam lived 130 years and begot sons in his likeness. He was a man made in the beginning after God's own ways, word. And after his what? His image. Man produces man. But also his character, his likeness. And called the name Seth. And if you follow the genealogy, we all came from one, and it wasn't Adam. Eve is the mother of all living, right? Why? Because Satan decided to inject himself into creation, because he cannot create, so he needed somebody to worship him. So he injected himself into the creation, and then we came out with these corrupted bodies. But if that would never happen, we would be just fine. So, that representation, now our representation is the fallen one. The fallen state representation. But see, I'm glad that we're not going to stay there forever. Because I have another one that is a glorified representation. And that's what the Bible said, that he foreknew, he also predestined, he also called, he also justified, and he also what? Glorify. I have a glorified state that we are going to. Amen. So as we go, you know, with representation, trying to review a little bit, and then we're going to move on. We go to Romans chapter 8, verse 3. This is very interesting. The word is, not me. Romans, se me durmieron. Okay, for what the law could not do. See, the law could not save us. The law could not change us. The law was just a cover. Nevertheless, the law is not bad, sinful. It's just to show us who we were. Do not, and I was weak through the flesh. That's what I felt, and I did what I did, because it's my flesh is weak. And the law could not save me. Could not help me. I needed more than that in order to overcome what I, you know, my sinful nature. God sent his own son in the likeness of what? Now, to condemn sin in the flesh. Now, I told you, Jesus is a theophany body. Jesus says, the Father in me, I'm in the Father. It takes two. It takes two. You and your wife, it takes two. And then with him, it's a completion. Now, in the beginning, he's the logo is sitting at there. But it's time to what? To become what? Your Savior through being what? Your Redeemer. Because it has to be a next of kin. So when he comes down, what did he do? God takes, you see, that theophany, you know, and what happens? And bring the spirit of Jehovah, because it was the spirit of God and him. That's two in one body. So the spirit of God comes into a body that was created from the earth. Then Adam was created one from the earth. His glorified body is still out there. Now God pulls, actually God pulled God himself from the theophany, because he takes two and put it in into that body that he created out of the earth. How? Well, God created the cell. God created the cellular, the way with everything in it, put it on that womb of Mary, and then Mary started eating what? Everything that the earth produces. But you know what happened? That the earth was cursed. See, it didn't curse Adam, but he cursed the what? So that body, it was a what? Just like flesh, sinful. Was not sin in him, but the earth body was. Just like this one. And that was the body that says he come down and he took a flesh like you and me. A sinful one, even though he has no sin in him. And he put God himself, the spirit of the great God, comes and take over that body. Now you have a spirit and you have a body. Just like in the beginning, Adam, it's not difficult. It was a spirit, male, into an early body. Jesus, the same thing. A body created from dirt, comes the spirit of God, God in flesh. Just like you and I, one of these days, it's going to be Eli in flesh, just like I am right now. One of these days, I'm going to burst out of this, and I'm going to my body. That is glorified. What happened when Jesus died? Jesus died. And Mary and the other women that went to, and the first day of the week is Sunday, Resurrection Day. And what happened in the resurrection? They didn't recognize Jesus. He was in another state. He said, don't touch me yet. I haven't gone to my Father. Once he went and came back and took a body, got his theophany, see? Because he left it out there just like you and I. Ours is there waiting for us. He went and got in his theophany, got some more dirt, and made his glorified body. Now he went through walls. Now he's eating. And now he's ascending. Why? Because that is the same glorified body that you and I will have. We will be like him when he comes. We will be like him. See, this mortality will change in immortality. In a closing and open one of an eye. The theophany is going to come. It's going to grab that he needs, the male part. And then he's going to take some dirt. And then it will be a what? A glorified. Jesus did that. Became flesh. God become flesh in a body. Dies. The spirit leaves. Get the theophany. Comes back. Get some dirt. And he, voila. Complete. You and I bypass our theophanies. That's why we're having such a hard time. But I'm glad that he's helping us. Adam had a hard time because he bypassed his theophany. The theophany stayed there with the female for a little bit. But he never became perfect like Jesus. Jesus was in his theophany. All the time God was in that theophany. God created himself in that theophany. Not Adam. Adam was going to get there. If everything would have went according to what we know, perfection, he would have been perfect just like Christ. And you and I, we're going to get there. Because we're going to have a body just like his body. That's a promise. Amen. So now, Let's see how much time we got. I got time. Brothers, now I'm going to go to my notes. All this was inspiration. Now I'm going to go to my notes. Because I wanted you to have a little taste of what, you know, what is actually, you know, I'm not trying to show you new mysteries. There's no new mystery. If I can figure it out, you can do it better than me. If just little or me can figure out this thing by His grace, His mercy and spirit, that means anybody can do it. But this is something that I want you to, I wanted to expose you to something so you can have something to think during the week. You know, God is dwelling in thick darkness. No more of that thick. One of these days is going to clear all up. One of these mornings is going to be sunny forever and ever and ever. In the meantime, I'm going to fight to get the darkness out. You are your worst enemy, and you got to let that light. You need to let that light put out the darkness out of you. Darkness is sin, evil. I don't want no evil, not an evil thought. You know, not even a scratch. I want God and His word, the light, to come and expose everything in me. Until one of these days, there will be nothing else to expose. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm out of here. Because I will have no more need to be here. See? And that's what we do. This walk, every day, is that. Let the Lord, you know, examine your life, like Brother Doug said before he left. And let that light shine in those crevices, in those little, you know, niches that we have. Let it just take everything that is not pleasing to God. And then we'll be changed. What I was telling you we were going to do, Romans, my notes. Moreover, whom He did predestine, now we're going to go to predestination. Predestine, them He also called. And whom He called, He also justified. And whom He justified, He also glorified. I read to you from the very beginning. Then the next one, glorification. This says, and now, Father, this is Jesus praying, John 17:5. He's praying. He says, he's ready to leave. See, He said, Father, glorify me, thou me, with thy own self, with thy glory, which I had with thee before what? The world. But what is that glory? It's a glorified body. And He probably enjoyed, and you're going to enjoy, you can't even imagine, you know, but one of these days we're going to be able to be there in that glorified body that we were before the foundation of the world one time. See, somebody said, but Jesus was before creation. I said, yes, that's true. In the Father, we were all in the Father as a thought, but He was the first of the creation. Now He wants to get back to that. See, He remembers that. You and I don't even remember. We had amnesia and we're still trying to clear it out. But He didn't have no amnesia. And He wanted to go back to that day, to that glorious state, to that majesty, that state, the state where He's glorified. The Father and Him are one. That's the state that I want to go back to. This is a fallen state. I don't want to stay here too long. Amen. Go on. So that's the glorified state. When they became what? Theophany bodies. Then they say, who being in the form of God, who? Jesus. Thought it not robbery to be equal to what? With God. That was God in flesh. The Father and I are one. The next one, I'm just going to, like I said, I need to give you scripture so you can get grounded. Next one. I'm going to go quickly on this. And the angels which kept the first state but left their own habitation. Those are the ones that hell is created for. That was the state of, anybody that will deny, Cain said, Cain didn't have no state. I'm sorry. You know, I didn't make the story. He couldn't even have a revelation because he didn't know. He couldn't get no revelation because there was nothing in him to receive revelation. He was the son of the evil one. And then he was, God being so merciful, God being so just that don't want no one to be lost. He says, you know, hey, Cain, yeah, just do that. Imitate your brother. I will save you. I have a place for you. No, but when they said no, what is the next thing left? My friend, either it's blessing or cursing. Either it's life or death. And you can choose. You think if I was Cain, I was, well, see, it just depends where you're coming from. See, I came from God, so God knows what choice I'm going to make. I'm going to choose life. I'm going to choose the light. I'm going to choose to follow, you know, like Paul says, imitate me as I imitate who? He's referring to this thing. Maybe you don't understand what's going on. Maybe you don't understand what I'm saying. But just imitate, and I will have a place for you. But if the answer is no, what is left? Has reserved everlasting change on the darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Next. Neither can they die. We're talking about then the angels that stay. I was told you this morning. They have a body not like you and I. We have a theophany body. They don't have a theophany. What they have is a pure spirit body. Just like God. Spirit body. They are equal unto the angels who we are. See, the angels cannot die, no? Because what? Because they don't, according to this context, if you will read it, talking about Mary and giving into marriage and all this stuff, angels don't marry, angels don't give into marriage, and angels don't die, and we won't die neither. See? And that's what it's just saying. Just like you have immortality, you will have. I mean, in fact, you will not have it. I have immortality already. It's just which way you're looking at. See? So they have immortality. Next. It says, but we all, with open face, beholding us in a glass, the glory. Remember, Jesus prayed, I want to get back to that same glory that I have with you. But this is yours. You're not different. You shape and form in the way he is. He's your image. He says, beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord. See? Our image. He said, our change from what? To that image. One day when he appears, I'm going to see how I was known. He says, why? From glory to glory. You and I, we had to go through a process. You know, this is not like Jesus, he was not sin in him because he was born virgin. You and I, we're going to have to go through a process from glory to glory to glory. Less light, I mean more light, less darkness, less more light until they get to a point that there's no more darkness in you and then it's time to go. But it's a process from glory to glory. God is glorifying your body slowly. See? See, he learned obedience through what? To sufferings. You and I are going to have to learn. You know what? This is how I see it. If I want that body, then I want to shape this body like that body. And when I shape it the way it's supposed to be, I'm gone. That's all God wants me to. That's my model. That is my image. And this, you are sent here with the purpose not only to do God's bidding, it's also his will we're going to do. But it's up to you to let God shape your body to that image. And when you get done, you know what? We are here. That's work. From glory to glory to glory to glory. We made mistakes, yes, but from get up and from glory to glory. Oh, I don't like this. Yeah, just go on. Get up. Go on. Fight. You know, just the violence will take the kingdom by force. You cannot lay in bed and say, oh, maybe just... Oh, you can do that, I guess. Listen, you need to get up. Get out there. Well, the darkness is forcing not only that darkness, but there's some darkness here that I hate and I don't want to see them in me. I'm going to have to fight the world and I'm going to have to fight me. Until one of these days, everything is going to be light, just word, 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 word. And he says, hey, let's go. You're done. You're done. Not like the doughboy, you know, you're done. You're done. You're done. Change from to that image. You are being changed to God's image, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Same body, same likeness. So, next one. The same glory that you had with him before the foundation. He says, to whom God will make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glorification. See, it's him, the Spirit of God in you. It's what give you that hope, give you that insurance that you're going to be like him. Why? Because he is the one doing the work in you. And the way the work is started, he's going to finish it. Only thing you have to do is surrender. Surrender your thoughts, your ideas, and everything that you had in mind. The next one. Now, they said negative side to this too. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven, and only those that came from him can do his will. I didn't make the story, so don't shoot me, don't throw rocks at me. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in my name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Another way, you were never in my mind. That don't mean that God didn't know it. God knows everything. You know, this is the virgin, the foolish virgin. Where did the foolish virgin came from? Well, Satan injected himself into the creation, and he created his own worshipers. I know, he's sitting in the house of God being worshipped as God. And some people are just being deceived to it. I hate it. I mean, it hurts me just even to say that. I don't want nobody to get lost. And then I profess unto them, never I knew you. See, you don't have a representation. And that's why you cannot believe. Because you didn't came from me. You know who you came from? You know who is your father? He told the guys, the priest. Yeah. Your father is Satan. Wow. That's what the Bible says. He injected himself into the creation. He brings some little kids. Now, some of them, they will be saved. There's no problem. You know, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work iniquity. What is iniquity? That's what happened in the garden. Cain committed iniquity because he knew what to do. You know, it was just a choice. And he knew what choice God wanted. He wasn't stupid. He knew exactly what he needed to. And it was easy. You see your brother? Do that. Iniquity is to know what to do and not what. And he said, no. But he knew. He was not being deceived or God was trying to trick him in anything. He had a choice. And he understood the choice. And we understand the choice every day. And these people knew what they needed to do. Just imitate. But they said, no, we are rich. We got everything we have need of. And then God said, you're naked, you're miserable, you're wretched. No, we are wealthy and we have all these. I don't care. He's still outside in the door, what? Knocking to get in. Why? Because they didn't want to take the route of imitating. See? And they reject if they reject Jesus, don't you think they're going to reject you today, the children? Next one. No. But, again, never knew you. The word known absolutely has a great variety of application. I told you, it has a sexual content to it. And it also has, go ahead. It has the other content is that to know you. You know, before, to have known you, foreknown you before, because Adam knew his wife and what, and she conceived. So it has that connotation just as well. But this one that I'm talking about, to know you, you never were in the back of my mind. For God so loved the world then that He begat His Son, He sent his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So whosoever, I told you this morning, we are not the whosoever's. But God wants everybody to come to repentance, to salvation. And that's all that. Hey, just imitate the whosoever's. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess, yes, if they confess with their mouth and they believe with their heart, they can have salvation. No problem. See? You and I have to go through the same thing. Don't go too far from me. We went through all that. But he knew we were going to make that choice. Salvation is not the end. Salvation has more stages than just salvation. Salvation has justification, sanctification, the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, and the person of the Holy Spirit. So salvation in itself is not the end, but the beginning. But they're going to go so far. Some went to justification like Luther. Some went to sanctification like Wesley. And some they went to receiving the gift. And then when it was time to get the giver, they stopped too short. We didn't. They stopped too short. Now, that's what I'm saying. I don't know how far they're going to go. People that don't want to believe this message, that's fine with me. But I tell them this week, how far God is going to do, that is his will, not mine. My responsibility is to present Jesus as their Savior. God will take out the rest. And I will tell them that there's a filling of the Holy Ghost. They got to choose to want the Holy Ghost. Well, what happens if there's no inside, nothing to respond? But that's not my, I don't know who will and who will not respond. I just leave it there. And, you know, that's between them and God. I'm not here to judge who is and who isn't. But there are some that will be saved, some that the Father will not lose any, those that will be with him forever, and some that are not, some that are going to be condemned, and some that will have everlasting life as well, but not in the rapture, after judgment day. And then the next one, he says, and shall come forth that, yeah, this is about the resurrection this morning, I read you, that some are going to come and receive life, and somewhat death. See? But you and I already got life. In fact, we're going to be in that judgment sitting next to our, you know, husband, judging the world. Don't you know that the same will judge the world? Because we are going through our judgment right now. And if you don't want to go through your judgment now, then either now or later. But we all go through a judgment. Next one. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing. Okay. See, when God emptied himself in Christ, you were there. Your theophany went in there. When he died in the cross, what happened? Eve was born. Just like that, Eve was born. See, he comes first in, just like Adam. He's the second Adam. He dies in the cross. His side was open. And who comes out of there? And then the spirit of the living God, of the bride, comes into that. That's hers. She was born in Calvary. Amen. In the meantime, it was in him. Spiritually, I'm not talking in the natural sense. See? See, the Lord knew when I was going to be born. No, now look at this. I was born in Puerto Rico. My wife was born in Tucson. She didn't know that it was a Puerto Rico, and I didn't know it was a Tucson, so we were even in that one. There was no way that I can figure this out, that I can meet her. God is, it's just funny anyway. He put one in that other side of the earth and another one in that side of the earth. Now, let's see who is going to. Never. Impossible. You know, that is what I love God, because when it happens, I knew it has to be God. It was an impossibility that I will meet my wife. But God put a seed at them in Puerto Rico, and God put a seed at them in Tucson. You think I'm going to find that? He had it. I mean, he had this thing so good, so Satan cannot even find them. But he knew that I'm his son. And she's a daughter, and I need a half that I'm looking. And she's looking for, well, I hope you was looking for half me. you know what? When we came together, that was a miracle. After 40-some years now, marriage has to be a miracle anyway. I would not make it by myself. If it was all me, you know. Anyway, this is God, you know. One in Australia and one over here in Tucson. How did that happen? You see, God knows where he is placing his seed. But you need to remember that it's God that brings him together. It's his program. He directs you through your life. He starts with you and take every mistake that you make, he turns that for good. But he's going to bring you to that seed because you need it. You need her and she needs you. And when you come together, the Bible says, whatever he puts together, no one can separate. That's what I've been living with her so many years, because what God put together, not even the devil can separate. That's when you know that he has done the work in your life. Now, listen, I don't know everything, so that day God will straighten out everything. If you do or you don't have the right one, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just serve God with all your heart. When we get there, there's not marrying and giving in to marry. God will make sure everything is just the way he thought about it. Okay? Don't worry about it at this point. Don't need to worry about anything. God is working a plan in all of us. Next one. Okay, we're going to read a few of these and then we are going to be... Let me see if I find mine so I don't have to be looking at the screen. And then we can continue. 16. I got 602. Okay, 816. Okay. Why? He said, you told the truth. Now, he's talking. I just told you, you know, God put a seed in Puerto Rico and one in Tucson. Here is a woman. He's a seed of God. He's a daughter of God. In the well, Jesus find her and says, why? He said, you have told the truth. She said, well, I wanted that water. But how are you going to get it out? And Jesus said, the water that I give you, you will never be thirsty again. And then he started going into the spirit realm, contacting the spirit. And he says, you said the truth. You have five husbands. Because she told her, I have five. But the one that you have now is not your husband. And the one that you have now is not your husband. See, watch. Something happened. See, something took life. See, her, Theophany, you know, that part is coming down. See, now, if he hadn't been in there to begin with, if she hadn't had a representation from a predestination, see, if you have a representation, God will predestine you. God will call you, but you have to have a representation to do that. It never would took hold. See? There stood the priest saying, this man is Beelzebub, see? No representation. And I'm sure not rejoicing about that part. It's sad. Eternal life, you always was, see? You have eternal life. There's only one form of eternal life, that is God. You were his attribute, his thought in you, and know you before the foundation of the world in his mind. She looked around, looked what sinful shape she was. I was the same way. But see, he couldn't get that priest, because that priest was an educated scholar, theologian in the world, but not representation in heaven. See, was not in God's thinking at all. Oh, that's a sad story. Huh? But this woman was, she, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. That's just all he wanted her to see. See? But she had to be a representation and she would not see it. We believe that you are. I believe you are a prophet. Now, we know we don't understand about the prophet now because it is a real late. We know that there is a Messiah coming. And when that Messiah comes, he's going to be the world, the word. See, he's going to know the secrets of thy heart, of the heart. He is going to do the same thing that you did there, said you must be one of his prophets that forerun him or something. That's just an example. Let's go to the next one. Now, that is a seed that had a representation. But look at this one. Now, you said, well, look at the priest. Wasn't he a son of God? It proved that he wasn't. He couldn't recognize what? Did he say, I believe the Bible? Sure. But he couldn't recognize the express word of the hour. And they do the same thing with you. You are a representation. You are shedding the light. You are a manifestation from glory to glory. But they cannot see that. He only had an intellectual learning from... See, that's dark. People that are walking in there, it's so dark that they cannot see what's happening. Group that had been back before, and it's the same thing today. See, I know that's strong, but it is truth. There was the word as spoken exactly for this day. And he was a scholar. Yet, he was a renowned person, but he could not recognize it. Jesus is standing in front of him and not be able to recognize him. What a sad situation. I'm glad that I did recognize him. Not for my merit, not for my intellect. It's because I was with him before the foundation, and now I can recognize him now. See? Only, it says, there was a word, it says, anything like that, he still didn't have a representation of predestination. See? Only the predestinated will only be the one who does it. That don't make you any special now. That don't make you somebody else. That don't make you anything. That just make you grateful that God had mercy on you and me. Don't start thinking that you're better than anybody because you're not, and I'm not. That just make you, give God thanks for his goodness and his grace in our life. Because if it wasn't for him, that where my soul will be going to. That don't make you anything special. That makes him special. Because if you have God eternal life, you had to be a part of God all that time. Nothing, possess nothing, will separate you from the love of what? Oh God, I told you this morning that nothing could separate Eve from Adam because it was the love that he had for her, and nothing could separate it. That's why he did what he has to do. But God said, I will do the same thing. See? Only the predestinated will, says. Because if you have eternal life, you had to be a part of God all times, because he is the only one that is eternal. You see it? Oh my, think of it. Even when you were lost, you had eternal life. You just didn't recognize it. Next one. Now, the world won't see, no matter. There is a people born. We hate to say it. There's people that were born in eternal what? Destruction. That's no reason to be mean to anybody now. We better be just like Jesus. Love your enemy. I don't care. That is not a reason to, she threw me, she didn't treat me right, so I'm going to do the same. No. You go to Walmart and they give you that, I don't care, and leave me alone, and pay and go away. Leave me alone. It doesn't matter. You still better smile. And wish a good morning, and God bless you. The scripture says in Romans 8, before that Esau, people will point this, because it's not Romans 8, it's Romans 9, 6 or 3. But see, they said, well, and that's a prophet? It actually, can you put it in the screen? I think it's Romans 9, 3. Just quickly, I'm sorry I get you out of my program, back into it. But I want to do this quickly. Go to 6. If I don't find it, I know it is in Romans 9 anyway. Okay, it is Romans 9. You can look at it at home. I forgot to write it down. But everybody will take this. You can go back to my notes and say, well, And that was a prophet that he made mistakes. Yes, and I made mistakes too. But I know what he meant. Because I went and looked at the scripture, and it's in 9, not in 8. Before that Esau and Jacob was ever born and come from their mother womb, God said, I hate Esau and I love Jacob. That's predestination. People don't like it. Just like he said, I don't like to say it. I hate to say it, but that is just the way it is. It says, before either child had a chance, God, by not predestination, by his will, but by his foreknowledge, he knew that Esau was a chaser, whatever that means, you know. To begin with, see, God knows everything before even we were born. Excuse that expression, but that just means a renegade. So that's what he was, and God, by foreknowledge, knew that. God knows who is his children and who is not children. But that wasn't his fault. God did not make that mess. God will deal with it. And whosoever wants to believe, God will give him eternal. God is just. I will give you eternal life. But that wasn't God. Wasn't even the one that created that. 6:07. Quickly, and then we almost. He says, and we find out that Esau truly represented the carnal believer. He was an earthly man, and he was of the earth. He was a very religious inclined. He had his religion, just like Cain, see? Just like the world has today. Most of the people that you talk to, they got religion. That's the worst spirit that you can have. Religion of some sort, whether they attend their church or not. But they, maybe once a year, or women like to go to on Easter to the show their new bonnet. The man likes to go once in a while when they are having something and going on with entertainment. You know, we have a barbecue or a racing, you know, okay, raising funds for something. And they was at a baby sprinkling and names put on the book of the church. And they are property of the church. I never could go for that. Man is not property of the church. The church cannot serve you. The church didn't give you life. I mean, the physical church. It's not me. It's not the pastor. It's not the church. It is God. Neither is the man property of the state. Man is a property of who? Of God. And God wants to have, like it says, man wants to, God wants to have be, I'm looking for words escaped from me. I remember in a minute. Man is property of God, sons and daughters of God. We belong to him because we are bought with a price. And what a precious price, the Son of God. But Israel, we represented that group of being religious. And I am just as good as the next one. And my religion as good as yours. And I am well satisfied. And that's what Cain said. I don't want to do that. I'm fine. I'm rich. I'm wealthy. I don't have no need of this word that you're talking about. We got our own books. It's sad to say, but that is the reason. He's knocking at the door because he wants to get back in into the church that put him out. One more. Oh, this is a continuation of this one. But Jacob, his twin brother, by election, which was by predestination, by foreknowledge, came into the world and was a spiritual man to represent the spiritual people. And he had a spiritual discernment of what was right and what was wrong. See? And if that's iniquity, to know what is right and wrong and not do it. But he had it. Yeah, he took the right choice anyway. And if you will understand that the entire church of the living God is built upon the revelation of Jesus Christ, how did Abel offer unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain if it had not been for the revealed to him what the sacrifice was required? That's what I told this person I was talking. The only reason that Abel did what he did is because God revealed that to him. And that's God, who I am to judge, who is going to do what. See? Who do you say I, the Son of Man, am? Peter, without hesitation, burst forward like a man speaking tongue. It says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou Simon? For the flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. You never learned this through your intellectual educational program, but by Father which is in heaven that has revealed it to you. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not upon Peter, not upon himself, but upon the spiritual revelation of who he was. And only the elect can receive a revelation. Ain't you happy that you received that? The reason you're sitting here is because you can receive revelation. Praise the Lord. Yeah? He says, upon this rock, says, show they would be against it, but it will never prevail. See, darkness will never prevail against the light. So the church, you know, I don't know how, and I cannot explain it to you, but I know that I heard the call. A spiritual church will move right in into eternity, just as sure as there's a God that ordained it is to be there. God spoke it, and it's going to happen. Regardless of your mistakes, regardless of what you're going through, regardless you look at yourself and you say, I'm not worthy. I don't know why God chose me. I don't know why God loves me. I don't know why, what can God made out of this body, this sinful God. You know, he will make you. Don't you love that? Because it not depend on me. All I have to do is just do unto me, shape me, mold me. He knows what the desire in your heart is. Let's see if I have one more. Oh, I have another one that comes with this one. Oh, this is all right that I read all this stuff? Either that or you want to, I have to preach? You don't want me to preach. So what is satisfaction I give us then to know that when you are born of the Spirit of God, you are sons and daughters of God. You did not became a son and daughter of God because you received Christ or the Holy Ghost. You became because you was predestined to receive the Holy Ghost. And that was not of yourself. In the faith that you had to believe in God, it wasn't even yours. This faith is a gift of God. So even that, the word of God says, faith come by what? So when we heard the word of God, God has to do something else. The same word comes into you. God himself, his faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, see, was opened up to you. So you could believe the word. The word give you the faith to believe his word, his own word. It wasn't you. Frankly, because I asked people this week, I said, you got the Holy Ghost? I said, yes. Okay. I'm just like Elijah. Elijah says, pray to your God, and they are praying and they're seeking God, you know, those 400 prophets, you know, pray that he consume your sacrifice, you know. And what happened? He was just there laughing and, you know, mocking those people. And what happened to your God? He's sleeping. You know, that's what happened. People profess to have the Holy Ghost, but where's the life that goes with that? Can you produce it? It's all I want to know. Can you produce that life? If you have the Holy Ghost, yes. But if not, you're still in your intellectualism and you're still on your education and seeking God some other way. Why should I receive the Holy Ghost? What do I have to do for that? See? Well, let me go back. Frankly, he's despised it. He despised it. Esau. See? Well, I'm going to have to go. Let me start from the beginning. I don't know where I stopped. So, what is satisfaction is give us to know that we when you are born of the Spirit of God, you are sons and daughters of God. Now this Jacob, it means so much to him. Jacob, it means so much to him, but the birthright means nothing to Esau. Frankly, he despised it. And I said this with all reverence, his children still does. See, that is right. He despised it. What do I have to do that for? Why he have to do that for? Why should I receive the Holy Ghost? I am so good as you are. And that's what they said. See, And that's what they told me. My religion is just as good as yours. Why should I go through all of that there? I'm just as good as you are. I got a church. I got my name in the book. I'm so and so. That's what you are. But what are you in the sight of God? That's not what God says. He said, you got to be born again, spiritually minded. So it didn't mean anything to Esau. He despised it. And the carnal believer today will despise the birthright. And the birthright is the Holy Spirit. See, and the carnal believer despised that. He said, then days are past. See, that's what I'm telling somebody today. We got to look at the context. We got to look at, 50 years from that, from when the Bible was made, things change. It's not the same. God don't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why we're here. And they told me, no, but what 2,000 years ago, that was for them. And then I said, what changed? Is God changed? But in the Old Testament, the Bible said that God, said a woman should not wear a garment. Oh, but that was in the Old Testament, a garment of a man. But that was the Old Testament. Oh, so what changed? After God speaks something, that never changes. It's still the same today and tomorrow and forever. But see, in their mind, well, that's the best for them that change, because they don't want to follow that. She says, so I didn't mean anything to Esau. And the carnal believer despised that. Oh, I said, them days are past. See, I was talking to another lady a long time ago, and I gave him a tape, how the angel came to me. I saw her reading the Bible, so I figured, she's a Christian. Well, not everybody that read the Bible is a Christian. I find out. I gave him a tape of how the angel came to me. I said, when you hear this, let me know your impressions. Don't talk to nobody. If you have a question, talk to me. So next day she gave me the tape. And she said, Tom, here. And I said, what do you think about it? Oh, we don't need no angels. We got Jesus Christ. That's true. But we still need the angel. You and I know the real, answer to that question. See, an angel is a messenger. See, we need a messenger. They don't need a messenger because they said they had Christ. And that's where things go south. Because I'm listening to the message of the hour that came for this age through a prophet that God had chosen. They said, we don't need you. We don't need the message. We're just as good as you are. There's no such thing as receiving the Holy Ghost. That was in the bag for the apostles. See? We don't need to do that anymore. We got Christ. Amen. So, that's my last quote. So, ain't you glad that that's my last quote now? Listen, predestination by representation. If you were in his mind, he will predestine you to get back to that place. That's how easy it goes. It doesn't matter of me, how bad, how good, how indifferent. God is going to make me, and I want him to make me. That's my desire. Shape me, mold me into his image, because I want to go back to the same glory that I had with him before. I don't remember, but I know one thing. It's beyond my imagination. This mind cannot even perceive that. But one of these days, I'm going to know how I was made, when he appears. How he going to appear? Well, we are being shaped and molded to his image. And one of these days, we're going to be so close to that. Brother Branham was confused with who? With Jesus Christ? That's how close he was. He was the first of this generation. The first fruit. But when you get that far and somebody confuses you with Christ, come and let me know, please. Because then I know you live in it. But in the meantime, when they see Eli, and that's Eli, and we're not there yet, I'll be honest, somebody confused me with Jesus Christ. They did Brother Branham. And you said, but that's not good. I said, what you mean that's not good? That's the one that I'm looking for. That is the one that I want to be like. That is the one that I want him to absorb all my life, all my fiber, that just consume me completely until I disappear. That would be an honor if somebody says that to me. They did Brother Branham. And I'll tell you what, I'll tell you a secret, you will do too. He was the first one. If he's the first, he had to be a second. I take second best all the time. Amen. Shall we stand? I think I kept you long enough. It's been a long Sunday for me because I had to work. Amen. I don't mind. I really don't mind because God is my strength. So it doesn't matter how down I get tomorrow, you know, God is my strength. You know, and I don't care. I do all I can, just like Brother Potter. If I walk from this pulpit and I die tonight, I want to die on my feet, serving God to the last minute of my life. And don't be sorry for me because I know where I'm going to go. And I will wait for you guys. I will put a good word for you guys. No. You already have a good word. You are the word, right? Made flesh. You don't need no more words. God is behind that word. And he will not let that word, you know, he followed his word from beginning to end. And he will not let that word fall to the ground. So don't worry about it. God watches over his own word. And he's watching over you, over you, over you, over you. And you cannot miss it. That theophany is right after you. And he's going to convict you. When you do something wrong, you just have to make it right. And keep moving. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful tonight, Father, for the words that we heard. Father, that's not my words. That was your word. And we thank you because I need your words, Father. I need more of that word so it can continue changing me to that image of Jesus Christ. Changing me to your likeness. Changing me to that what you had in your mind before the foundation of the world. Father, I'm not worthy, but I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at what you said, who I am. I'm not looking at this corrupted thing. I know one thing. One of these days, this corruption will be swallowed by immortality. I'm not looking for that day. And I'm going to do all is in my power, physically, mechanically, to let you have control of my life. Father, clean me completely. Do with me as you have said. That is how this are. I want to be what you want me to be. Can we sing that one? I want to be what you want. I don't know how it starts. I want to be what you want me to be.